Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning. We're going to be continuing on in our series in Luke, at least for a while longer. Maybe through January. I'm going to take a break for a month or two and then come back. And look at that. So, Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be at, verse 41. All right. You guys, I'm going to have to use a shotgun this morning a little bit here, aren't I? So if I hit you all, huh? All right. Okay. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41. I'm going to read through this, and then we're going to talk about growing in favor with God and man. So let's look at that. It says, every year, so this is after Jesus is born. We talked about the last couple weeks that Jesus was born. We had the story about the shepherds. And then last Sunday was about Simeon and Anna praying for Jesus and prophesying over him. And then they Joseph and Mary make their way back up to Nazareth, actually down to Nazareth. We'll talk about that. So verse 41 says, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. They were good Jewish people, so they followed the customs and the regular traditions that were part of their religious system. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to custom. So they were living in Nazareth, and they went up to Jerusalem. Now, Nazareth was in the, where? North of Israel, by the Sea of Galilee. And Jerusalem was in the south. Now, if we say we're going to go up to North Dakota, we'd say we're going up there, okay? Because it's north, okay? But they didn't talk in those terms here. The reason being, why? Elevation, yeah. Jerusalem was in the hills, and you went down from there. So you always went up to Jerusalem because it was in the hill country. All right. Okay, so that's why they use that terminology. It's not that north and south had to do with elevation. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while the parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. When they began looking for him among the relatives and friends, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. Can you imagine that as a mom or dad? I mean, he didn't get a spanking, yes. Jesus came pretty close that time, didn't he? He maybe was the Son of God, but he still had parents and he still had to obey and live within those guidelines that his parents had given to him. And we were up in Wisconsin, and my young niece, she's what, three? She just turned three, Riley, cute little thing. But everybody was just kind of doing everything. All of a sudden, everybody said, where's Riley, you know? And she was gone, you know. And so they ran out into the hallway, couldn't find her. We were kind of in a resort motel situation, and she was nowhere to be found. All of a sudden, I see the bathroom door closed. So I went in there, and there she was, getting into something she wasn't supposed to be. But at least we found her. But, you know, mom and dad, my sister and my brother-in-law, were kind of hit in a panic, you know, because here's this young little girl, and they didn't know where she was at. But here Jesus disappears. And they think, well, you know, he's just with friends and family. All of a sudden, they realize he's not there. And so for 3 days, they searched for him, you know. And they didn't have the technology that we have today. It was all word of mouth, and it had to be a frightful thing. And so after 3 days, they finally find him where? It says he was in the temple. Everyone who heard him. So after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting with the teachers. So here's your teachers and leaders of Israel, listening to them and asking them questions. He's dialoguing with these professors and these teachers of the law. religious leaders of Israel, and he was asking them questions. And he says, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. You know, and Jesus is kind of like, well, it wasn't even a big deal to him. Why were you searching for me, he asked. Don't you know I'd be at my father's house? And so Jesus is now shifting into, he's recognizing who he is, that he is the Son of God, reaching that point of manhood as well. So when they did not understand, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. That's the second time that Luke says that. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Father, we ask the blessing over your word today. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and to our lives and help us in our pursuit of you. And as we close out 1 year and bring in the new, I pray that you'd be with us here. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. You know, as we close out 1 year and enter new year, all the TV shows, and there's even shows that are on that just kind of help us wrap up a year, talk about the highlights of this past year, and as we look forward to the new year. I think it's beneficial for us also as well to take a look at this past year and say, God, what have you done in our lives? What has gone well? What hasn't gone well? I'm not one for New Year's resolutions, but I think there is something to writing goals down and saying, what do I want to accomplish this year? And studies show that if you write something down, you write your goals down, you will achieve them. I mean, it's not 100% that you will achieve them, but it's up there, okay? There's something, too, when we put those goals on paper and if they're realistic. So you have with you a sheet. We're just going to kind of go over those quickly. But, you know, life, a lot happens in a year, doesn't it? A year can go by so quickly, especially the older you get, it seems like, oh, it's gone. But a lot can happen in a year, okay? We can change jobs. Our health can change. We can go from high school into college. We can go from working full-time into retirement. There's a lot of things that can happen within a 12 months, a calendar year. And so we have to constantly look back and say, you know, how are we doing? How's life going? And maybe make some adjustments. I think of the coach of the Colts, Chuck Pagano. I don't know if you've been following his story at all, but battling leukemia. And so he's missed most of the season coaching. I think this Sunday will be his first Sunday back in a long time that he'll actually be out on the field coaching his team. But he's been very open about what he's been going through, his struggles with leukemia and the treatment. And so he's just overjoyed to be back. But that's a major life altering situation. And you look back at your life, and now you look at what is lying ahead. There's things, some things to look forward and to look forward to and to adjust. So at your table, you have a handout. And I'm going to pull mine out here. On one side, you have the wheel of life. So we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But it just talks about if you have a wheel and you have these different spokes of the wheel, and if that's our life, there's some key pillars or spokes that bring balance, that are important to our life. So we're going to talk more about those. And there's actually a way that you can kind of rate yourself where you think you are right now. Okay, so if you're closer to the center, you're a 1. If you're closer to the outside, you're a 10. Okay, 10 being the better, low being 1. Okay, so we're going to go through those a little more in more detail here. And you can evaluate, hey, this is where I'm at spiritually. And the idea is that when you look at your life, you kind of want it to be more of a circle instead of a box or an egg shape. Why? Things don't roll along too well if that's the shape, is it? You know, it's kind of like wheel out of balance, right? But many times that's the way our life is. We can be putting a lot of emphasis upon work, or maybe we put a lot of emphasis upon other things. And many times the things that suffer, two things specifically that suffer in my mind, is usually our spirituality and what else? and family. To me, those are a lot of times the two areas that seem to suffer most. So you can look at that. On the other side, there is goals. It's kind of a goal sheet, and I've usually handed these out. I don't know if I've done it every year here for the last 5 years. But it might be you can use it, you can tweak it, you can throw it in the trash. That's fine with me. You're not going to hurt my feelings any. But you can look at some goals. And if you're married, you can sit down with your spouse and say, what are some goals that we want to tackle as a family? And when you set goals, I'm not one for New Year's resolutions because people rarely keep them, okay? But I believe if you set smart goals, good goals, there's a good chance that you'll keep them, okay? Now, what is a smart goal? I want to just go over that real quickly. That is in your bulletin. And I want to touch upon that real briefly. What is a smart goal? Many times when we set goals that are too ambitious or too vague. Okay? So the one that a lot of people are making right now is I'm going to lose weight because I ate too much at Christmas and Thanksgiving. I'm going to lose weight. Okay, well, that's a good goal, but it's very vague. It's not specific at all. Okay? How much weight? I mean, if you just want to lose weight before you know it, you're going to, if you keep on that track, you're going to be skin and bones, right? You're going to die, okay? So you want to lose weight, but you have to be more specific. So that's the first one. S stands for specific. You have to be, okay, I want to lose 5 pounds the next 6 months, and I'll be down to my ideal weight of whatever, okay? That's a specific goal. You're giving yourself some things that I'm going to measure it by, and specific, and it probably covers a lot of different things I'm going to talk about. So be specific. Number, and M stands for being measurable. How can you measure your progress? Okay, if you want to lose weight, I'm just going to use that one because that's an easy one to do. How can I measure my progress if I'm losing weight? How do I measure that? Scale? Is there another way? Clothes, how your clothes fit. Yeah, so I can measure that goal, right? If I want to say I want to lose 5 pounds a month, I can measure that goal, okay? So that there's ways that you can do that. But with the goals you set, you have to have some way to measure your progress to know if you've achieved it or not, okay? All right, so it has to be measurable. Is it attainable? Now, how much of that is in my control? Now, if I want to lose 5 pounds, probably a lot of that is in my control. Now, there's some goals that I may set that is dependent upon maybe my team at work, okay? It's not just dependent upon me, but maybe the people I work with or within the family situation. There's some things that are within our, say I want to start on the football team or the basketball team. Now, some of that is in my control. Some of it is not, okay? I'm not the coach, okay? But I can put forth the effort to put myself in the position for that, but still some of that control lies with people that have control over that, okay? So, is it attainable? How much of that is in my control? Is it, R stands for realistic, and that just looks at, based upon my track record, am I going to fulfill that, okay? And this is where I think a lot of times we kind of mess up in that, you know, say, if I was in sales and my dad did insurance, and so say he had like a monthly goal, his track record was selling 10 policies a month. I don't know if that's good or bad. 10, is that good? Or is that bad? It depends on the size of the policy. But if my track record is 10, and I want to really, you know, I want to challenge myself and I want to set a new goal, probably to say I'm going to do 30 a month would not be realistic. Why? Because in the past I've done 10. What would maybe be more realistic would be 12 to 15. Okay, because the increase is just not realistic. Okay, so we have to look at our track record, what's been accomplished in the past, and adjust from there. Letter T stands for tangible. Can it be accomplished in a certain amount of time? Can it be accomplished in a year, a month, 6 months? If it's going to be indefinitely, then it needs to be refined. A smaller step needs to be taken. All right? And so those are some goals we can look at. And those are some of the things after we talk about today you can take home and maybe write some goals down for your own life. But as our passage ended here this morning, it says that Jesus grew in favor with God and men. Now, he was grown physically. He was a 12-year-old, okay? You know, He's kind of hitting that middle school age. You know, you just try to keep them in pants that fit. All right. And they just, they grow like a tree, like a weed, like Daniel is. And Ethan, they're hitting their growth spurts. Okay. It's like they almost change overnight. All right. So he was growing physically, but he was also growing intellectually and spiritually. Socially, he was able to interact with adults and have an adult conversation with them. He was growing in a lot of different ways. And the challenge I have for us is to also to continue to grow in favor with God and man, that we keep that growth within our own lives. I think the common problem is that once we get out of high school or get out of college, you know, people say, I'm never going to open up a book again, right? Yeah. And we quit that learning curve. People that do well in life tend to be lifelong learners. It doesn't mean you always have to be in college, always have to be in school, but you somehow bring into your life that you are continuing to grow, to challenge yourself, and to keep yourself sharp. I believe that's where significance comes from. Meaning in life comes from those different things of challenging ourselves. But growth is hard work, is it not? Right? It's hard work. Sit down in front of the TV and turn on the remote. You know, that doesn't take much. But to read a book, to sometimes do the things that are going to challenge us and cause us to grow in other areas, that can be work. But there's also payoffs for that. So let's look at those on your sheet there of the goals. I want us to look at just the different areas of the wheel of life. It's on both pages, I guess. But as we look at a new year, as Jesus grew in favor with God and men, what are some ways that we can grow in our favor with God and men and just grow in our own personal lives and maybe even in our families? So the first one I want to look at is just family and home. You know, it begins with probably looking at that wheel of life. Where am I at on that? Am I a one? Hopefully you're not a one, but maybe you're a five or a six. And maybe you're just knocking it out of the park. Maybe you're a 10. Maybe that's a real strength in your life. But where are you at on that? To be honest and just say, where am I at? And what are some things that need to happen in my home, in my family life? What are some goals that I could set? I remember when we came to Crete, in that first year or two, the church was just kind of getting off the ground, and it pretty much consumed all my time, okay? And some of the stuff that I'm sharing this morning came out of a course that Chuck really was pretty much said, hey, this I think you should do this, and then made it possible. And one of my goals was that I wanted to be able to spend some time to, one of the things I used to enjoy before I came here was doing some hunting, and that really just kind of, not just with myself, but also with the boys. And that's just something that kind of just got lost because it seemed like there was always something that needed to be done. And with a church plant, even in just church work and ministry, I don't have to worry about running out of things to do, okay? It's sometimes taking time to enjoy life a little bit and do that. So one of my goals when I took this class was I wanted to get Aaron out. He was kind of at that age that to help him get a turkey, I think, and a deer. And I think those first few years, we accomplished that. We went out and we got some of those things. But that was one of my written goals, that I wanted to spend some time and to do that. And it happened, okay? So whatever the goals may be for your family, kind of write those down. What is important? What is important for your family? Number two is financial and career. Where are you at in your career? And sometimes you can get into a career and, you know, things go real well for a while and then all of a sudden you get comfortable, right? Comfortable and your boss isn't challenging you. The people aren't challenging you. You're just putting in time and getting your paycheck. And, you know, I guess that's a good thing, but you're not being challenged. You're not feeling significance and meaning in that. And so sometimes you have to challenge yourself and say, what are some goals that I'm going to set for myself to continue to grow and to prosper in my own career and maybe in my financial situation? So there's a lot of things you could look at there. You could look at your financial situation, your retirement, how you do it on your savings, and to set goals as an individual, as a family. Maybe it's to take a Dave Ramsey course. Some of you have done that. Some of you are about ready to finish that one up. You know, there's some things we can't control there. We can't control the economy, unfortunately, and we can't control the stock market, right? But we can control how we spend. We can control how we save and what's important to us. And to invest in things that are important to us, usually that's what we do, whether we realize it or not. We spend on things that are valuable to us. And sometimes those are in line with our other values, and sometimes they're not. We have to bring those into balance. So look at your financial and your career. What are some goals you need to set there that are realistic, that are smart goals? Number three, mental and education. Okay, we talked a little bit about this. We should be on a curve where we're continuing to challenge ourselves in life. Whether it's through reading books, maybe you want to take a class at a community college. Maybe you like photography and you just want to brush up on your photography skills. Take a class at the community college. Or do something. Amy's always wanted to learn Spanish. And so she's been, you know, saying, we need to get Rosetta Stone. We need to get Rosetta Stone. So we finally budgeted for it. I mean, there's a little bit of cost there, but she bought it, and she's learning Spanish. So she's, at nights and evenings, that's the way she relaxes. She has her computer, and she's going through it, and she's learning Spanish. And that's something that she's wanted to do. And so she's broadening herself. I sometimes just take classes, not because it's going towards a degree or anything like that, but it's just there to help challenge me, to hear from other people, and to challenge myself. So whether it's through books or whatever the case may be, find ways that you can stretch yourself to do some more things. Stimulate yourself. Maybe it's doing the crossword puzzle in the morning paper, you know? I don't know what it is. But find ways to kind of stretch yourself, to keep yourself sharp. All right. Physical and health. Well, we all like this one, right? I won't take a show of hands how many of you ate too many things. All right. I heard somebody say, I'm just going to choose to eat less. And you know, that's good. That's kind of vague, though. You need to kind of put some parameters around that. But we talked about earlier in this year, we talked about a healthy you. We talked about how our health is more than just our physical health. It's the emotional health and our spiritual health, and they all kind of just, they're all woven together, okay? My physical health affects my spiritual health, my emotional health. My emotional health affects my spiritual health. And they're all interrelated. And so how are we doing in our physical and our health? How are we doing that way? Are we a 1, 5, are we a 10? Do we need to make some adjustments? Maybe we just need to get back on track, you know? Sometimes you get into the holiday season, we just get off track. And so, you know, so set some goals, whether it's to walk 5 times a week, okay, or to go to the fitness club 3 times a day, or, you know, 3 times a day, yeah. 3 times a week. Is that better? That's realistic. I had the one guy that was teaching our course, and he says, yeah, he goes, I had to stay on track. I don't know, I think he went to the fitness club, I don't know, I wouldn't say 6 to 7 times a week. Well, so he skipped a few days. So there's some days he did 2-3 times a week, or 2-3 times a day to get caught up. He kept his goal, but you put those things down there that it helps you accomplish them. So what are some realistic goals that way? How are you doing that way? Socially, culturally, community-wise, how involved are you in the community? How much time do you volunteer and give back to the community? That's a good question. I think everybody should volunteer and give back in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's to join a service group, maybe this is to volunteer in your local church, organization like Teammates, they give back to the community and build relationships with other people. Josh, Karen, and myself from the church are all involved in Teammates. I'm not sure if there's anybody else. But it's led by a Christian lady here in Crete in the middle school. But 30 minutes a day for once a week, it's not too bad. But you make a difference in a young person. Have lunch with them. Hang out with them. Be a mentor to them. They have 30 people, 30 young kids that need a mentor just in the Crete middle school system. That's an easy way to become involved. and make a difference in the life of somebody else. So socially, culturally, community-wise, maybe take a missions trip. I think that would fall in that way. You want to take a missions trip this year. The final one is just our spiritual and ethical. How's your spiritual life? And, that would be a cultural thing. And missions trips do that, don't they? Yeah. They get us into a different culture. Allows us to see life through a different lens. Spiritual and ethically, how are we doing? That can go up and down from month to month, from week to week. But how are you doing right now? How's your prayer time? How's the study of God's Word? And not only do those things affect our spiritual life, but it affects our ethical system. What is right and wrong? We are being inundated by TV, media, our culture, and sometimes we have a tough time differentiating what is right and wrong. And I believe that as we get into God's Word, it helps us to keep us grounded. And we many times compare our life ethically with who? Not with Jesus, but with who? The neighbor, right? Or so-and-so. Yeah, I'm better than so-and-so, right? Yeah, I'm not perfect, but I'm definitely better than so-and-so across the street. Well, that's not who we're supposed to model. We're supposed to model our lives after God's Word and after Christ. That is our measure of rule to live our lives by. So it affects our life. That's our guide. You know, and as I even look at just our leadership school that we're wanting to get off the ground, just the need for that, maybe even that ties in with what God has been speaking to your own life. And we want to help people grow in just their knowledge of God and their abilities, their ministry skills. And so I don't care if you are 12 or 16, 18, or if you're retired, I don't care. Come and check us out and let God work in your life. So as we begin a new year, this is something that you can take home. There again, if you want to throw it in the trash, you can do that. But I believe it can be at least a useful tool to guide our lives, to close out one year and to bring in the next year. At the bottom, it says the essence of destiny. Watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Choose your words, for they become your actions. Understand your actions, for they become your habits. Study your heart, for it becomes your character. Develop your character, for it becomes your destiny. That's so important. As we close, I want us to go to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read that. And you have one other piece of paper, and we're going to utilize that here yet. But Philippians chapter 3. This is written by Paul, starting in first part of the chapter. Paul's talking about, he's talking about not putting confidence in the flesh. So he's talking about the law. And with a lot of the Jewish people, they thought they were righteous and they were holy because of their credentials. Okay? The things that they are accomplished or their standing in the religious system. And Paul says, you know what? I have a lot of reasons to put confidence in the flesh. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. Okay, so that could be seen as zeal on one side, and yet he was responsible for the deaths of people, folks. Think of that. He was a murderer. As for zeal, persecuting the church, for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But what was whatever to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. What was Paul's? You kind of see Paul's goal, don't you? I want to know Christ. For whose sake I've lost all things, I consider them rubbish. If you want to get technical, it means cow patties, okay? I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that comes through faith in Christ. Okay, my righteousness comes by faith in Christ. The The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, his power working in my life to change, to transform me, to become who God has called me to be, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. A lot of you aren't going to put that in your goal, right? I want to share in Christ's sufferings, right? Paul says, I want to know Christ, and I want to know him at such a level that I'm willing to also endure the hardships that Jesus faced because I know God. Becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all this or have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul says, I haven't arrived, but I have my goal in front of me, and I'm pressing on towards that goal. Okay? I do not, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. And that's very important. We have to forget what is behind if we're going to move ahead. Whether it is failures or accomplishments, they both will keep us from pressing ahead. And sometimes accomplishments are more deadly than failures. We learn a lot more through our failures than sometimes through our successes. Okay? And whatever the case may be, we learn from the past, but we can't live in the past. We have to forget it. We learn and we move on to what God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. We forget what is behind and we strain towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Christ Jesus. That's a good verse for us to begin a new year. Amen? And so, with that other sheet of paper, this is the hot thing right now, okay? So you, by doing this, you are just kind of right in cultural flow right now, okay? All right? A lot of people are going to be doing this on New Year's Eve, okay? We're going to get a head start on them, all right? But this is the end thing right now, is to write down what really stunk this past year. Okay, whether it was something that was in your control or not. Maybe you just really messed up. You want to forget that and move on. Write that down. Maybe something happened in your life, whether it was a health situation or for those up in New York, it was Hurricane Sandy. You know what? They had no control over that. The hurricane came in. For some people, they lost all their, you know, their earthly things. They're having to rebuild. Working through that system has been very frustrating for some of them. And you know, so some of them are writing that down. So what's one thing that you just want to forget this past year? Whether it's in your control or not, your responsibility, I want you to write that on there and you can fold it. I'm going to have the musicians come. So we're going to close with this closing song, The Stand. And you can all stand up for The Stand. It's on The Stand. And as we sing that final chorus, I don't know if you noticed my paper shredder up here. I thought it'd be cool to set him on fire, but I just didn't know if... It would. You know, we have the fire ring out back. I just wasn't sure what we'd do to our fire system here. We don't have a sprinkler system, but I figured the safer thing would be to shred him. So right on there, what's one thing you want to forget? Okay? As we sing this chorus, you can make your way up here, put it in the paper shredder. It's a micro shredder, so nobody's going to read it. But what's one thing you want to just put in the past? All right. Would you stand this morning? We've seen this, you can just make your way up. Just bringing the end of New Year and bringing the New Year with God's presence, with His grace, with prayer. Proverbs says that the plans of man are pretty futile, but the plans of God will succeed. You know, so if we go at something like this just in our own understanding and our own vision, it's going to be pretty short-sighted. Lord, as we are on the the edge of a new year. We thank you for this past year with its joys and triumphs, maybe some sadness and failure. Lord, help us to learn from this past year. But Lord, as we stand the edge of this next year, we lay before you dreams, goals. I believe some of them are of you, some of them are within our own mind. And Lord, we lay them and we before you to know your heart, know your way. And you would guide us in all our ways. You said in Proverbs to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. To lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge you. And that you would direct our paths. And Lord, this morning we just take our lives, our dreams, our goals. We seek your face this morning. Lord, as we go ahead, help us to know your heart. Each moment, each minute, help us to stay in touch with what you're wanting in our life. We surrender it to you, Father.